Will you turn with me to the book of Psalms? We read on the psalm from it, Psalm 116. Psalm 116 and verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? This morning we were in one of the earlier psalms, in Psalm 103. And there the psalmist is blessing the name of the Lord and is encouraging his own soul, stimulating, motivating his own soul by giving us that list of spiritual blessings. God who has done this and that and the next for him, such as the way in which he assesses and looks at his life. We looked at that attitude he had and we try to follow his own example as we come to that point of reflection towards the end of this year, to do the same thing for ourselves, to make up our own spiritual list of things that God has done, and to use it to stimulate us in worship and praise of his name. But it's an exercise that's not limited to the spiritual. We tried to extend it and to apply it to many different areas of life as we engage in that review of the year now drawing to a close. And what I'm wanting to consider tonight flows quite naturally from that position we adopted this morning. Because as we pile up our psalms, as we gather together the different experiences, as we just for a moment of stillness look back over the days, months, and the year, and we think of the many ways in which God has been good to us, then there arises quite spontaneously the question of verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? We are under an obligation to raise up our Ebenezer marker, to raise up a stone of remembrance of the ways in which God has helped us. But then, as soon as the stone is raised up, its shadow immediately falls onto our lives. We are immediately confronted with this personal application then. Yes, it's good that we remember and recognize and acknowledge the good that God has done for us. But then the question comes back like a boomerang at us. Yes, but what are we doing about it? What shall we render to the Lord for all his benefits to us? After any kind of deliverance, perhaps a time of special prayer over a specific trouble and problem. Maybe it's been a renewing of a revelation of the Lord's love to our soul when he takes us aside and he speaks to us through a sermon, through a passage, through some avenue or other. But the Lord meets with us and there is this affirmation given to us of his love towards us in Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a fresh glimpse and a fresh new understanding of what's happened upon the cross. We're given an insight and an understanding of the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. These and many more instances can be recited and set out, drawn from our own life in this past year. And as we think of them and many others piled up, the echo of this question comes to us more forcibly. What shall I render to the Lord? How are we gathering ourselves together tonight? We sang there in Psalm 122, I joy when to the house of God go up, they said to me. We gather ourselves together indeed with a joy that far excels the kind of joy that is experienced or even looked for in these next few hours by many in the world round about us. A joy that they're going looking for is a joy that is so transient, so passing. The joy that they're looking for is so nebulous, can't be pinned down. But the joy that we have is a joy that is based upon a living relationship with the Lord our God. And our hearts are overflowing with what he's done for us, and so we come to worship him. Psalm 122, following on Psalm 100. There we have the psalmist, like any one of us, looking at what God has shown and revealed to us of himself, that God is a good God. His mercies endure forever. His truth endures always. So many reasons again piled up by the psalmist to thank God. And sometimes when we do this, sometimes we don't appreciate the full weight of debt that is upon us. Yes, we're conscious of this time and that time and perhaps another time when God did wonderful things for us. But it's only when we start, like now, to put all that together that we realize just how heavy the weight of obligation upon us is. When we add them all up, we begin to realize something of the fearful debt we're in to our God, for his goodness and his mercy following us all the days of our life. How much we owe. And again, the question comes to us. Yes, there's that is laid upon your life and mine. And in the light of it, the shadow of the Ebenezer stone, hitherto as the Lord helped us, the stone raised up, memorial for all of these things, the shadow comes. What shall we render to the Lord for all the benefits that he has shown and given towards me? I want then tonight, as that question constantly hovers in our sermon, that question constantly confronts us in our exercises, as that question constantly challenges us, I want us to answer it from what the psalmist says as his pattern, and again, seeing his attitude, we try to follow his example. He gives us the way we should follow and the answer we should give. What shall we render to the Lord? He tells us, first of all, the very beginning of this psalm, the relationship that he has. I love the Lord. A simple statement of spiritual reality and experience for him, and prayerfully and hopefully for ourselves. Here is a person's life where God has broken in and met with that person, where God has taught him, us, things about God that we could never discover by ourselves. Here is somebody who has tasted experiences that have thrilled his heart, brought him a joy that he never had anywhere else or from anyone else. Here is the response and the reaction to a heartfelt experience of God's gracious blessings. It comes, yes, out of spiritual good things like we had in Psalm 103, where he sums up for us spiritual blessing. But we must not limit it only to that aspect and application. What about difficulties that come upon us? What about distress that we've been through? What about hard times of this past year? What about when our path and our track and our road through life has gone down into the valley and we've had to struggle and be underneath a cloud with no encouragement to keep us going, and we have felt it hard to keep going? Where the whisper has come, oh, there's no God, and why are you bothering? And we've had to fight against these kind of troubles, perhaps many others. I leave one example. In these experiences, we've realized how weak we were, how short our days, how inadequate we are for the spiritual journey and battle. And sometimes these things constitute a wake-up call for us. And now, looking back over the past year and these particular experiences for us and to us, we begin to understand what God was doing to us and in us by them. A wake-up call to draw us closer to himself. Discovering out of them, and we can see this now at this point, looking back over them, we can see something of God's graciousness, God's character. We can see the fresh understanding we've had of our God through them and from them. The discovery we've made about our God. And out of it, all that we can say tonight is this relationship the psalmist sets before us. Because of God's goodness to us, I love the Lord. We can limit it, we can take it particularly to the application, spiritual application, when there's been a storm descending upon our soul. We're hearing all the forecasts about the storms that have been in this past day, or perhaps that are forecast for tonight. But the storm has come upon our souls where we've been convicted of our sin. We've looked for a refuge and a place of safety. We've tried to find relief and respite. No matter what we've tried, it hasn't worked. No matter what we've done to give relief and respite, it doesn't do us a whit of good. Until we've heard the gospel tone and words of our Savior. And there's been an interest springing up within us towards what He's saying and what He's speaking about. And there's given to us a vision with a wonder upon our soul of God's answer to our problem involving the death of His Son upon the cross. The way in which God has dealt so graciously with us from time to time through this year. I love the Lord out of spiritual experience, from illness, poor health, from worry, from poverty, from riches, from so many different experiences that make up the variety of our life as it is drawing to a close in this year. The one thing the psalmist is saying to us, I love the Lord. Through all the ups and downs of the year, through the good times and the bad times, through it all, he's saying, I love the Lord. This is the most important relationship that we can ever have. This is the most important statement we can ever make. This is the most important marker that can be laid against our life or said about us. Do we love the Lord? Well, if that's the relationship with which he challenges us, he doesn't leave us like that, because he then quickly undergirds and puts a good foundation down, because he says, I love the Lord. Why? Why do you love the Lord? Why? He gives the reasons, because of what God has done for him. Faith and commitment and devotion to God is not a blind thing. It's not a leap in the dark. It's not something hoping even against hope that we land on our feet. There is a very firm foundation to what we believe, why we live the way we do and what we do, and why we do the things we do. Love on a human level can be said from time to time to be love is blind, not seeing as it should see. But the love that we have to the Lord is a love that is supported with tremendous reasons. We are able to give a reason for the hope that is within us. We stand upon a firm foundation. We have a hope that will establish us and keep us through all the storms of life. And when the last and greatest storm of death comes, we still will not be found wanting. And when we go beyond that into the meeting with God, the foundation that we have and the hope in our hearts will sustain us and keep us even through that dramatic meeting with God as we stand alone and give an account to Him. For time and eternity, we have indeed a foundation. We have a reason for this relationship. The psalmist here is speaking about the way in which he was like a prey being trapped and being hounded, the way in which he was being closed in round about, the walls getting tighter, the options getting fewer, the corner getting more and more uncomfortable. It was getting to him, big time. And what did he do? We are told here that he called upon the name of his God, called upon God to save him and to set him free. Again, as we look back over this year, think of it in whatever circumstance we were in and fitting for the experience then. Illness, trouble, disaster, problems. So many of them we can draw out of the locker of our memory now. What did we do? What did he do? We can call upon, and perhaps we have done so, we have called upon the name of the Lord. Our hope is in him and him alone, because he is our God who hears and who answers our prayers. He is the one who bends from heaven, if we can put it in human terms, and his ear catches the faintest and the feeblest cry that comes from the lips of his people. We have cried to him and called out to him. And what has been our answer? What has been our experience? But he answers us. He has answered us in so often the most amazing and surprising of ways. And every one of these answers, before we even get to them, every one of these answers is like a fire. The fire of worship in our life, of service to him. And it's been stoked, constantly being fed by these experiences from our God, deepening our trust and our reliance upon him, stimulating our praise and our worship, motivating our service, and as we were thinking this morning, our speaking for him. We've called upon the name of our God. Who have we called upon? We have called upon a gracious God. We are told that in verse 5, gracious is the Lord. How we can speak of that quite simply and easily, because God here is one who blesses and answers prayer, undeserved though that is on our part. The way in which God helped us, the way in which he drew near to us in this year that has gone past, it wasn't on the basis of what we have or what we are or what we've done. When we raise up our Ebenezer tonight to say, God has helped me, I was in a strait, in a troubled problem and difficulty, and God heard my prayer. And this is the answer that he's given to me. And you start speaking to your soul, and you ask the question, why did God give that answer? Why did God bless you that way? And again, immediately we come to the conclusion, it's because of his grace. I didn't deserve it. Freely he answered. And he answered me in a way that was above the measure of my asking. Sometimes we can conceive of the way God should do it for us. But he often breaks that mold and answers above, a way above, in a surprising way, in a totally different way from all our expectations. And especially when we see some of the spiritual blessings that he's given for us that we have a foretaste of now. When we think of the way in which we have fellowship with God, when we have spiritual blessings from his hand, a gracious God, when we realize the enormity of these things, the gifts that he gives to his people, then we begin to see the real deep colors of God's grace. A gracious God, a righteous God, a God that is honest and upright and true to his word. No duplicity, no double-minded, no variation whatsoever with our God. What he promises, he will do. There's no dubiety. Well, is it yes or is it no? Are you going or are you coming? Are you staying or are you walking? These are the kind of questions we ask ourselves because there's a doubt about our behavior and about our way of living. But never, ever is that raised about God. There's a firm assurance. And again, perhaps we can speak of it tonight. There's a firm assurance that He does what He says, and we know it. We will not be disappointed, and we've not been ashamed. We can go back to the book of Isaiah, so many different places where it says, my people will not be ashamed. Those that wait upon the Lord shall not be ashamed. Go back to the book of Joshua, chapter 24, and there it says, an old man, not one thing has fallen to the ground. So many different examples that echo in our lives now tonight. God has never let us down, although we have let Him down so often. He has never let us down. He is dependable. He is a merciful God. There are times, again, just think of David as we did this morning. Think of the many experiences in the life of David, the foolishnesses, or the silly things that he did. When he went off to Ziklag to hide from Saul. When he looked with lust upon Bathsheba. When he tried his own stratagem sometimes to achieve and obtain things that were promised to him. So many things like that that we do ourselves. Taking things into our own hands and we only make a mess of things. And what do we find from our God? A merciful God. He has a compassion and a tenderness towards us in the mess that we make of our own lives and the pain that we've created because of it. And the way in which we cannot find relief from that pain, from anything that's available to us. It's only from Him that we receive that touch that makes us whole again. Oh yes, there's reason here. I love the Lord because He has. He has done these things for me. A rich and a deep, satisfying testimony that we gather together at the conclusion of this year. Do we know the Lord God just like this? So there we have it. I love the Lord because He has done this and that and the next for me. But we're now going to step across the threshold, and when we next meet as a congregation, it's going to be 2007. What is this word for us this evening? There is the third thing I want to take out of this psalm, a resolve on the part of the psalmist. He says, I will. There's a strident resolve and a determination in the light and experience and the remembering of these spiritual blessings. I'm going to do this now. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. The resolve He has for the new year, we need to make it ours. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. As we think of God's good things given to us in this past year, what has been the effect of it all on us? Is it passing? Or is it permanent? We once, perhaps, we're very disturbed in our soul, but God has brought us peace. We once were famine and lean, but God has filled us and given us blessing. We once were afar off, wandering in the flesh pots along the broad road. Once we were afar off from God, but now we know what it is to have close fellowship with Him. Once we were underneath His judgment and experienced His wrath, but now we have the light of His face lifted upon us. and there's a calmness in our soul. Go over it and over it and over it. And whenever we revisit these experiences precious to us, we get a little bit fresh, a little bit new to chew on. And when he does that, and he feels again afresh the weight of obligation upon his soul, he says, I will. I will. And that resolve on the part of the psalmist and on ours is all the more resolute and strong when we've gone down so deep. When we've been down there in the bottom and somebody gets you up and rescues you, then the appreciation is all the deeper because of the depth you've been brought from. When you realize the danger that you're exposed to and the way in which you've been swept out of it, you then are really in awe and wonder of the rescue that has been effected and brought for you. It's seen in mountain rescue teams. It's seen in the lifeboat organization. People who have been with no one to help them, except for those climbers or these seamen. And their appreciation is expressed so often in not only words, but in kind and donations that are made. If that's the experience on a material human level, how much more intense it is on a spiritual level. I will. Staggering underneath the good things of God's magnificence. Humbled in our heart when we think of his gracious dealings with us. Provoking always the question we started with. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will give myself a living sacrifice. I will, as I've experienced in the past, so I will pray constantly to the Lord. I will call upon the name of the Lord as long as I live. I will walk before the Lord, verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. My lifestyle is now going to be one of obedience to God. I'm going to be careful to do what God has set out for me. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I will let it be known to all and sundry that I am a Christian believer, that I indeed love the Lord. Verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will join my voice. I will stir up my soul and all that is within me to praise and worship his name. Yes, I will do these things. And I will do them because of warm delight and appreciation in my heart. That's the resolve which the psalmist gives us as we step across the threshold into a new year. We can never discharge that debt we owe to God. No matter how we feel we've been doing it. No matter how we can order our life, we always find that we're in debt to his grace. We discover fresh and fresh elements to it as each day and as year go by. The countless years of eternity will never suffice to discover how much we owe and the extent of God's love to us. We are truly blessed as we've experienced God's goodness to us. And therefore, as we close tonight, the question comes. The question faces us, and the question confronts us. What shall we give? And the simplicity of the answer, the simplicity of the answer requires no more words from me or from anyone else. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I love the Lord. And the question then is, do we? Let us pray. Lord our God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we bless thy name for the richness of thy gracious dealings with us in Jesus Christ thy Son. We bless thee, Lord, for the way in which thou hast made known to us through the ministry of thy Spirit our problem and thine answer for it. And we ask of thee, God, our Lord, that we might have our gaze fixed upon spiritual things, that we might have our priorities set upon thy kingdom, that the delight of our soul might be in thy fellowship and presence with us. O Lord, wilt thou not hear the prayers of thy people? And do thou grant to us an answer above the words and the measure of our asking. Keep company with us through the night watches, and come out with us and meet with us tomorrow as we cross the threshold from one year to another. And do thou, O Lord, be true to thy character as a God who changes not, that as we set our step upon another path for another year, Lord, do thou travel with us along it, and may we know refreshing from the uplifting of thy countenance upon us and thy ministry to our soul. Forgive us, Lord, for the faults and the failings that have been in us, and take the glory and the praise to thyself. For we ask it in Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 46. Psalm 46 and at verse 8, come and behold what wondrous works have by the Lord been wrought. Come see what desolations he on the earth hath brought. And to the ends of all the earth wars and to peace he turns, the bow he breaks, the spear he cuts, and fire the chariot burns. Be still and know that I am God. Among the heathen I will be exalted, I on earth will be exalted high. Our God, who is the Lord of hosts, is still upon our side. The God of Jacob, our refuge forever, will abide.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all.